We do come to him this morning. Please read with me responsibly our call to worship taken from Psalm 65. Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. O you who hear prayer, to you. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those who choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. And as we come to his temple this morning, let's stand together and do as he has asked us to bring his praise to him this morning. Let's stand together. Our Father, we do pray this morning that the lifting of our voices have been a sweet sound to your ear. We grant you our hearts, our minds, and our souls. Enter our services this day as we do bring the sacrifice of praise. And we come solely to praise and worship you. For we ask these things through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his sake.
Scripture reading from the Old Testament is from 1 Kings 3, 1 through 14. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. He brought her to the city of David until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places because a temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, the Lord of my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or to number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased with Solomon, that Solomon had answered and asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life."
That Spirit of God is a holy, 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 pure Spirit. And we are not holy, 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 and pure. We are called to be, and we want to be, but we are not. And so we come to him in confession of sins and our weaknesses and seek his forgiveness in preparation for our prayer of confession. Join with me in reading from Psalm 143. O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. No one living is righteous before him. Let us pray. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Let's stand and sing together.
The teaching from the New Testament this morning comes from the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 7th through the 12th verses. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Father, we ask the blessings on the reading of your word this morning. We ask for you to open our hearts and our minds, to set aside the cares of today and of this world, and speak to us through the words that you have prepared and through the one that you have blessed to give it. For we ask these things in your name. Amen.
I just looked at my watch and I realized this service is moving along very nicely and we'll probably get out of here early. Those chairs aren't very comfortable, are they? When I was a young guy, I had it pretty good. In fact, I guess I was spoiled. You see, my dad, even though he didn't know how to share love very well with his family, he did fairly well in business. And he was a good provider. And he made sure that we had whatever we need. And I was spoiled. I didn't know it, of course. I thought everybody had it this way. I didn't appreciate what I had when I had it. I mean, after all, I was a child and later a teenager during those years. And I, just like many children and teenagers, I thought the world revolved around me. And that's fine. And when I went to college, I did help pay my way through college with a job. But my dad picked up all of the other bills. But I had something that my other college friends didn't have. You're in college. Listen to this and see if this is true. I have no idea. I had something my other college friends didn't have. I had a bottomless checking account. If I wanted to buy new clothes, I wrote a check. If I wanted to put gas in the car that my dad bought for me, I just wrote a check. If I wanted new tires, I just wrote a check. If I wanted to take my dates to a steakhouse, I took them to a steakhouse, and I just wrote a check. You see, in the little town of Rockingham, North Carolina, where I lived, the banker would call my mother and say, "Edna Ruth, Harry's checking account's overdrawn again. You want me to put some more money in it?" And she'd say, "Yes, zap, filled, fine, bottomless checking account." I thought that life was good, and that's the way it always is going to be. That's how it works. Just write a check. Now, later I met and fell in love with and married this woman, Elizabeth. And it was Elizabeth who taught me otherwise. When I got married, I discovered there was no such thing as a bottomless checking account. Now, Elizabeth shared with me that she did not grow up with luxuries as I did. She grew up in a different environment. Her parents didn't pay for any of her college expenses. They didn't even pay for her trips to come home on holidays. And she had three full-time jobs while she went to school. Not full-time jobs. She had three jobs while she went to school full-time. And it was Elizabeth who taught me about budgeting, managing money, saving, and dealing with whatever resources we had, and to make the best of it. She had to do that as she grew up. I didn't have to do that. She learned how to do that by necessity. I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth, as they say. And I had things. I didn't have to worry about things. As a newlywed, starting out life without that bottomless checking account, I discovered that there are different dynamics about things. A few years after we got married, we had a spiritual rebirth. And in the light of being rededicated to Jesus Christ and on fire for our Lord, in that frame of mind, I heard these words: ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and him who knocks, the door will be open. That's Jesus speaking, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7. And my first reaction to hearing that was, hip, hip, hooray! This is great news! God has a bottomless checking account. All those things that I want, he'll provide them. All I have to do is ask. Well, once again, I lacked maturity and understanding and experience. Subconsciously, I did what many people do. I thought of God as my banker. Running low? He'll cover it. Don't worry about it. Just ask. Now, the beauty of that truth is that sometimes he does exactly that. You ask him, and he gives you exactly what you ask for. Sometimes our prayers are answered specifically, and the more specifically we pray sometimes, the more specifically he answers them. He's awesome that way. But this invitation from Jesus to ask and seek, this invitation to him is just filled with promises that we don't understand sometimes. And we need to embrace it and grow in maturity in understanding what he was saying. Matthew 7, 7. A-S-K. Ask. Seek, knock. The same teaching is found in Luke chapter 11 that we heard today, but in the context of Luke, it's different. Now remember, in Matthew, where the Sermon on the Mount is, Matthew liked to group things together. Luke put things in a different order, sometimes more chronologically. And in Luke's gospel, this teaching to us of asking, seeking, and knocking is in context with the Lord's Prayer. It's an extension of the Lord's Prayer. Now, do you remember we talked about the Lord's Prayer a few weeks ago, and we talked about the priorities in the Lord's Prayer? For instance, it starts with honoring God, our Father. And then we worship him, and we adore him before we ask for anything. After we have worshipped him, after we have adored him, we say, give us this day our daily bread. Don't miss that point. After Jesus gave them the model prayer, after Jesus gave them what we call the Lord's Prayer, it says, Jesus said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight, and he says, he must be a good friend to go to him at midnight, right? He goes to him at midnight and he says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. He needs some bread. Then the one inside says, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. Don't make me get up. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up, and he will give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, Jesus says to you, ask, seek, knock. Because of the man's boldness. Now that word boldness is also translated persistence. Because of that man's persistence. There's a sequence here. Ask, and if you don't receive what you ask for, then seek, and if you still don't receive what you ask for, then knock. And it's more clear if you understand the tense of the verbs that Jesus used, because Jesus used the present imperative, and that means ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, and knock and keep on knocking. Persistence. God, however, is not our divine errand boy. We can't just snap our fingers and ask him for something and expect him to have to be obedient to his own word and to do our bidding in our timing. Of course, if he does, we praise him all the more. Amen? That's a good thing if he does. But never, ever fall into the trap of hearing Jesus say that God must do what we ask exactly the way we want it to be, exactly when we want something. It doesn't work that way. God sometimes wants us to exercise persistence and patience. Why? I don't know. And you don't know. But God does. We live in a culture where people like to have things quickly. They want instant gratification. That's why we have fast food. That's why we have a faster internet download. That's why we have entertainment on demand and news on demand. It's the world we live in. But God doesn't always provide instant answers to our prayers, and not always instant positive answers to our prayers. For reasons that he understands that we don't, sometimes he delays. And he wants us to keep on asking. Pastor Bill Hybels was reporting about a very joyful baptism service he had in his church one evening. And he was in the stairwell going to his office, and he had a surprise encounter of a young woman who was in the stairwell, and she was crying. And he thought that was strange, because it was such a joyful service. So he went up to her and he said, are you all right? And she said, no, I'm not. He said, what's wrong? She said, well, my mother was baptized tonight. Again, he thought that was strange. She should be filled with joy. And he said, well, what's the issue? And she said, I've been praying for my mother to come to Jesus Christ for 20 years. And she said, I prayed every day for 20 years. Years. And she said, I came this close to giving up. She said, after 10 years, I thought, I'm wasting my time. Nobody's listening to me. After 15 years, I thought, this is absurd. After 19 years, I thought, what a fool I am. And then after 20 years, Mom gave her life to Jesus Christ. And God answered the prayers. She said, I will never doubt the power of prayer again. Have you ever doubted the power of prayer? Have you ever asked and asked and asked and asked and sought and sought and sought and think it's just never going to happen? He's not listening. He's not there. Have faith. Ask and keep on asking and seek and keep on seeking and knock and keep on knocking. And how? With persistence and with patience. Now in Matthew 7, Jesus adds this. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? And in Luke's account, he adds, or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion. What's that all about? Jesus loved to give illustrations to people that they could understand by using things all around him. You see, around the Sea of Galilee, which some of you will see this December, around the Sea of Galilee, there are countless stones, and they're round, and they're shaped like little loaves of bread. It would be easy to pick one up thinking it's a piece of bread. And also, the fish that Jesus was talking about was really an eel. And an eel kind of looks like a snake. And also the scorpion. When the scorpion tucks in its tail and is sleeping, it looks a lot like an egg. So if the dad were to give a stone or a snake or a scorpion to his child, he would be mocking his child. And God does not mock you. God loves you. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't give you something that if you bit into it, you'd break your tooth. He wouldn't give you something that could bite you and kill you. He wouldn't give you something that would sting you. He would only give you good things. But God doesn't always give us exactly what we ask for. In verse 11, if you then, though are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God gives you more than you ask for, and God gives you things that are better than what you ask for. Don't ask God to give you what you think is good for you. Ask God to give you what he thinks is good for you. Eliza Hickok wrote this little poem. It goes like this. I know not by what methods rare, but this I know, God answers prayer. I know not if the blessing sought will come in just the guise I thought. I leave my prayer to him alone, whose will is wiser than my own. Ask God, but when you ask and when you seek and when you knock, don't limit God by your unbelief. Remember this promise from Ephesians 20. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. Isn't that a great verse? I think I need to put that one on my refrigerator. But you know what? Prayer is sometimes different from what we typically imagine prayer to be. The Danish philosopher Kierkegaard said this, a man prayed, and at first he thought that prayer was talking. But he became more and more quiet until in the end he realized that prayer is also listening. Sometimes when we pray, God changes us more than he changes things. Sometimes we're so focused on asking and seeking and knocking for what we desire that we fail to realize that what we desire may not be for the best for us. For instance, a man was praying for strength. He wanted strength in his body. He thought maybe God could give him strength just like a bag of sugar from the grocery store, just give it to him. But strength comes from resistance. Strength has to be built. Strength takes time. And God answered his prayer. He didn't pray for obstacles in his way. He didn't pray for struggles in his life. He didn't pray for resistance, but God answered his prayer. And he gave him what he needed in order to gain the strength. Now, where are you in your prayer life? Now I may step on some toes here. Where are you in your prayer life? Let me ask you this. Have you even prayed here today in this service? I'm not asking if you said some prayers. I'm not asking if you read some prayers. I'm not asking you if you bowed your head and closed your eyes while somebody else prayed. I'm asking you if you prayed even yet today in this service. Let me ask you this. How many times did you pray since the last time we were together? Or do you only pray when you come to worship services? Is prayer a daily walk for you with God? St. Francis of Sales said, every Christian needs a half hour of prayer every day, except when he's too busy, and then he needs an hour. And for many, an hour is not enough. How many times this week did you talk with God? How many times this week did you flip the channel on the remote control? How many times this week did you get a cup of coffee or a cup of tea? How many times this week did you read an email? How many times did you send a text message or talk on the telephone? How many times this week did you enjoy a snack? How many times this week did you flip the pages of a magazine? How many times this week did you play a game on your computer? How many times this week did you talk with God? Someone put it this way, don't expect a $1,000 answer for a 10-cent prayer. And don't expect God to respond to your emotions if you're just pretending. Be real with him. Use words you use all the time. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. There's an old proverb that says, he who does not pray when the sun shines will not know how to pray when the clouds roll in. Pray consistently, persistently, patiently, fervently, with humility. And then Jesus closes all of this in verse 12 with this, so in everything do unto others what you would have them do unto you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets, of course, was the Pentateuch, and it's all the law that the Jew reverenced, and he said, this is the big one. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the popular name for that's the golden rule. And most of us know that golden rule. And what is he saying? He says that prayer is also walking with God, not just talking with God. Some people live by the golden rule. Some people ignore the golden rule. Like the guy who called his doctor one night. He said, doctor, my wife is terribly sick. She needs emergency medical attention. And please come. It was a cold, wintry night. The wind was howling outside. It was a terrible night. And the doctor said, I would love to come, but my car has broken down and it's in the garage being repaired. Can you come pick me up? He said, in this weather? Do to others what you would have them do to you. Some people like to say that this is the most important statement in the entire Sermon on the Mount. Why would they say that? Well, here's one of the reasons. Now listen, it's possible to find the teachings from the Sermon on the Mount in a parallel fashion from many other Jewish rabbis. Much of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount is not unique to the lips of Jesus. Even the Beatitudes were written on the Dead Sea Scrolls prior to Jesus ministering in the Galilee. They're not original with Jesus. But this statement is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. However, That statement is found in many other religions. How can you say that it's only Jesus who said it? Because in every other religion, it comes out this way. What is hateful to yourself, do to no other. It's in the negative in every other faith. But do unto others in the positive is unique to Jesus Christ. If you were to take the teaching, don't do what you don't want other people to do to you. If you were to take that literally, you could fulfill that by doing absolutely nothing. But Jesus presented it to us in the positive. Do, go, be to others what you would have them do and be to you, to obey that. You and I have to be proactive. We have to be motivated by love, by His love for us, by our love for one another. When we are, we can ask. We can seek. We can knock. Because first, we do unto others as we would have them do unto us. God says, talk with me and walk with me both. Live according to my word. Be holy. Honor me with your life. Then you can ask me anything. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive your sins. I will heal your land. And I will give you the desires of your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I am convicted by my own words. And I pray that your Holy Spirit has convicted many of us here as to how much time we spend in quality prayer with you and how much we obey your word by being positive Christians in this world, honoring you and your word so that in faith we can ask as a child and we can seek as a child and we can knock as a child, and in our persistence, you will not get annoyed, but you will be pleased and you will answer our prayer. So, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to live. Teach us to walk with you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand and sing.
We come to his garden, and we now give back a portion that he has blessed us with. Please be seated.
It's a joy now to stand and praise God together. Let us stand. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your provisions. And we thank you for the joy and the privilege of giving to your kingdom. Please bless these gifts now to your glory. And in Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion.